This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you too, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah. Yeah, doing good. Things are, things are crazy. Things are just
crazy.
As
always.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about the shop. You always know they're crazy.
Yeah, they always are. I'm a broken record, man. People, you can just fast forward through the first 30 seconds of every Country Squire Radio
okay,
episode.
Okay, can I? All right. I'm sorry. I'm going to derail us. We haven't even hit the 30 second
ahead.
Mark. I'm going to derail us for just a quick second. Like, you mentioned a broken record. I mentioned this back on our, 300th episode, I believe, of Country Squire Radio. It is still on my goals to create a record, a vinyl exclusive podcast episode. I would love for that to be Country Squire Radio.
Oh, wow.
I recently had a conversation where
vinyl exclusive.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
That works for this show.
It does.
Come on, man.
We could do maybe 5 episodes on each side and
Man, vinyl, you'd fit half an episode on one side. You can't get that much content.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
on.
True, because it's, we're not talking about songs, we're talking about that, right?
Exactly.
I got it.
Yeah,
got
so,
it.
One side I'm thinking would be the episode, and the other side, it's our Christmas album. We do a Christmas version on one side, where we talk about Christmas cheer, and then all these different, pipe characters. We can even have different, like Santa Claus could come in. We could do, a variety show. It's Frosty the Snowman, all these pipe-smoking iconic characters from Christmas. And then on the other side, we do pipe parody versions of Christmas songs, like that one year that we did, and it was terrible.
It was bad.
It was so bad. We could do that on vinyl exclusive, and it'd be great.
We need to revisit the Christmas song deal, but have, pipe celebrities in there.
That'd be great. We had Tim the intern.
Yeah, are you kidding me? That guy's long gone, man. I love Timothy, bless his heart. But gosh, that's been years ago. Yeah, we have the usual suspects. Brian Levine. We could have
okay.
We could invite in maybe Mike from Pipe and Tamper.
Okay,
But then we get some pipe carvers on board.
You think Phil would sing for us?
I think Phil would sing. Yeah. We'd get, folks like Grant Batson or Joe Hinkle or,
this could be a thing.
Some great pipe carvers out there. So, yeah, I don't know. We might
have to revisit that.
We'll
look
massage
at you.
That. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
You were so anti this at the beginning, and I love how this you've changed.
Necessity is, right? Yep.
Broken records aside, man, I'm glad things are going well at the shop. Of course, it's a always a great time to reconnect with you with everything that's going on. But, man, we've got a great, great episode to dive into
this will be fun.
This week. But before we do that, I want to give a shout-out to all of our amazing patrons who are supporting the show at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. Now, of course, we mention this all the time on the show, but we are made possible by our amazing sponsors, of course, but also by you, dear listeners, who actually help out make the show happen on a weekly basis. People still don't believe me when I tell them about Country Squire Radio. People outside the pipe world, and I'm like, yeah, you do a pipe tobacco podcast?
They don't get it.
I was like, not only do I do a pipe tobacco podcast, we do this thing every single week for 7 years without fail. Without fail. Never missed a week. And the only reason we could do that is because of our amazing patrons.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So we really, really love and appreciate you. We've got the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. You can learn more about that at patreon.com/countrysquireradio. And I'll just make mention of this as well before we jump in, man. In the midst of the year of 2020 and the way that things hit us, we were trying to brace for impact, thinking that everybody was going to bail on us. And that has not been the case. And we have just been amazed at the support that people have been willing to keep us on the air.
Yeah, well, it is interesting. We really did. We thought, this might be the year that, folks were
we thought this was it. 2020 was going
to
take us out.
And, I know, right? I mean, so many people did, and a lot of small businesses and other, organizations, it really, really did. But, man, this year y'all have been so gracious to us, so faithful. And we've been able to keep this thing working, and it's it's been a joy.
Yeah,
it really has.
Lights
been a joy.
Are on.
So we're so grateful for y'all. So thanks for everybody who has signed up either as a club member or as a regular patron, and we're so thankful.
That's right. So to learn more about how you too can support the show and get access to our online pipe club and all the kind of great stuff there, patreon.com/countrysquireradio. All right, man, this is going to be a fun episode, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're talking about something. This was actually teed up a while back by a listener who had asked about amber stems. And you had said something. This was part of our listener feedback where you had called the amber stems the unicorn of the pipe tobacco world. Or of the pipe world,
I think pipe making.
Yeah. Which is a very, like, that's almost kind of a bold statement. And, like, look, I've got two daughters. You've got a little one as well. Unicorns are a big deal in our life. But even beyond that.
Wow, I never thought a sentence like that would be uttered and it would also be true.
Yeah, I know, exactly, right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You have no much unicorn paraphernalia. I never
it's pitiable. Burn it all, bury it in the backyard.
No, but man, unicorns but unicorns are you know, they're a mythological creature.
Okay.
They are a creature of great majesty.
Yeah, that's true.
Often bringing luck, and also much like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, sought after by our Irish listeners. You know, there's a great song, the Unicorn Song. It's called by various Irish singers out there, and I don't know if I've ever shared this with you. I know, off the rails, right? This is
we're losing all our Irish listeners again,
all the way off the rails. But here's the thing: because anytime anybody calls something the unicorn or something, my mind goes back to my college days, where I was very briefly. I think I've told you this before. I was in a parody band. Did I tell you this?
I don't remember it.
Blokes for the Liberation of Scotland.
Wow.
We were a Scotch-Irish...
I don't remember this.
...folk band. A parody comedy folk band.
Okay.
And it was great. It was a very, very ahead of its time in the sense that we still haven't reached the time where that would be relevant. But I like to think that's where we were.
This is so Bo York.
Yeah, we had offensive accents. They weren't intentionally offensive. They were just, you know...
Offensive.
We tried.
Right.
And you know, I had this whole bit about, you know, I was a Scotch-Irishman. How do you get a Scotch-Irishman? You take an Irishman, you put a little scotch in him. That was my whole...
Waka waka.
Yeah, exactly. but one of the songs we always sang was the Unicorn Song, which is the tragedy of the unicorn. That unfortunately, the unicorn didn't make it to Noah's Ark. And it was a little bit too late. And Noah's like, "Look, we don't have any, you know, Lord, I'm so forlorn. We have no space for no unicorns." And it was gone.
Man, you think he would have kicked off like the mosquitoes?
That would be nice.
Maybe some, you know, I don't know, some
nice
turkey vultures and stuff, and made room for the unicorn.
No, but fortunately, the amber stem did make it on Noah's Ark. And that is why we're able to talk about it this week. How about that?
Man, that's right. Actually, I think part of the reason we can celebrate the amber stem is because it didn't make it on Noah's Ark, and it was submerged under all that water
and be geologists.
Ancient stuff for millennia and millennia. And it's an amazing material. It's something that, of course, makes a beautiful pipe stem, and it is amber. It's gorgeous. It's painfully delicate. It's incredibly unique, and it's very rare. What is amber? It's a fossilized tree resin, right? You think, you know, we all have that image of kind of sap coming off of the tree. It's a highly viscous material that can be used in things like varnishes and adhesives, even things like perfume. But, you know, Bo, mostly amber is just pretty. It's just pretty.
It's gorgeous.
It's just pretty to look at. It's one of those things that you're, you know, drawn to because of the elegance of it. You're drawn to because of how ancient it might be, and you know, maybe things that it includes, these inclusions that, you know, we all think of the amber that has the, you know, mosquito in it from, you know, 30 million years ago that contains... Exactly. We're going to Jurassic Park, baby. Like, man, let's...
Bingo! Dino DNA.
That's it. Yeah. You know, and so we have that stuff in mind. And, you know, and that's, you know, obviously we have these romantic images of that, but there are, you know, this is an ancient material. That's something... we also have this in the pipe world with things like morta, things like mammoth bone that are used occasionally in, you know, pipe, you know, embellishments.
Have we talked about mammoth bone as a use case in pipes?
I don't think so. It's so...
We have failed this podcast.
Uncommon.
Wow. But okay. I mean,
But,
yes.
But that
I mean, like, that means that there needs to be an episode about
it. Well, there you go. But but it's mostly just it's a pretty material. It's something you know, that has been around for in human history a long time and has been revered. The ancient Greeks, when Pythaeum, the son of Helios.
Okay, listen, this man is struggling right now.
Pythaeum, when Pythaeum, the son of
Helios
died,
the god of the sun,
right? Okay. When his son Pythaeum died,
okay.
His sisters became poplar trees, and their tears were amber.
Interesting.
Their tears from the trees were amber.
Wow.
And so that was kind of, you know, a reverence that they even developed. We're talking 3,000 years ago kind of thing. You know, it's also tied in the Greek to words, the words beaming sun. It's tied to that initial, you know, Greek for the word amber. Also evolved into the word electricity from the word electricity in the Greek kind of evolved from that. That root. And so,
fascinating.
Yeah, you think about bright and lightning and captivating, right? It's a, you know, this electric, you know, material.
I guess you think of like amber as it kind of, you know, trickles down and kind of creates a lightning pattern. That's the only connection I can think of why that would even be the case.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a bright material. It's something that, you know, takes light, and the way it's refracted, it's mesmerizing. And so, yeah, today we know this as a gemstone. It's a, you know, something that, although it's not necessarily a stone, it is this material that, you know, has been aged for a very long time, and so it has this kind of gem-like quality to it. The resin, it's fragile even from the beginning, right? You know, for it to turn into amber over, you know, millennia, very specific conditions have to be met just right. And so, you know, we think about Morta, right? We've done episodes on Morta before. You know, Morta, this is a material. Morta, if you're not familiar, if you haven't listened to the show a very long time, if you haven't been in the pipe world for that long, Morta is a material that a lot of more premium pipes are made out of. It's a semi-petrified bog oak that comes from Eastern Europe. This is where, you know, oak wood has been submerged and basically protected from any kind of external breaking down over millennia. And it's basically become a semi-petrified stone. These pipes are made out of it. It smokes very clean. It's incredibly durable. It's beautiful. It has its own interesting characteristics. And so, you know, the amber is kind of like that. If amber is just left to itself, it degrades very easily. It's broken down through millennia. Things like sunlight and microorganisms, high temperatures, you know, they can kind of break this down. But if it's encapsulated, if it's something that is protected from the elements, then it can become the amber that we see and think of in things like jewelry and any kind of adornments, you know, and certainly the same type of material will be found in the form of a pipe stem.
It's wild to think about. I mean, like, I love the comparison to Morta, right? Because of just how the conditions have to be perfect. It makes, like, it's not something you can mass produce, right? Like, it's not something that you
it's
can just like,
not.
Crank out. Like, there is a quantity amount at any given time on the planet.
It's like gold. You have to mine it.
Right, exactly.
You mine it. Mm-hmm. Like, there is a finite amount that's out there. You have to go find it. That's already been produced,
okay.
And it's something that, you know, it's it just, you know, it you either find it or you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
No, unicorn status solidified.
Yeah. Now let's kill it and eat it. What?
Wait. Way to go southern on it real quick.
I know, right? And deep fried. Let's beer batter it. Yeah. Man, amber is found worldwide, primarily in locations in Eastern Europe. This is where the large deposits of this have been historically found. And of course, Eastern Europe, you know, we think about places like the same places where things like Morta are found, but also, you know, we think about places like Germany, Prussia, Poland, you know, Austria, you know, the Ukraine, you know, these are pipe smoking places that have a lot of history with that. And so it made a lot of sense that your more premium pipes would have the embellishment of this very sophisticated material.
Now, so this is probably a dumb question, but
I'll give you a dumb answer.
Well, I'll take it. Even thinking historically about like how amber is uncovered, it's not like in my mind anyway, you're not going to like uncover this vast quantity at any given time,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Like you're going to get like little chunks here and there.
That's right. But the thing is, though, a lot of these, you know, if you think about a lot of trees that have been maybe moved by a flood event or landslide or something like that, that is the largest kind of deposit we'll find of this type of thing. But yeah, I mean, overall, you're still not talking about like, it's not like, you know, a vein of ore, you know, where you're, you know, mining something, you know, and you find this vein of, you know, coal or something, and that, you know, all of a sudden is, you know, something that's going to last for a long time. So, yeah, it is a different, more rare material. Amber, again, this Eastern Europe tends to be a place where you do find it at least more consistently than other areas. It has a high degree of volatility. It's gorgeous, highly prized, and again, fragile. Why did we use this for pipe stems to begin with?
Right. Because like, it's not readily available.
It's not, and it's incredibly fragile. And
dates back to, when was the earliest that people were using it for pipe stems? Circa?
Probably 1830.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, you think, you know, that's...
It's an era of innovation in the pipe world-ish, maybe?
Well, the briar pipe was kind of canonized or, you know, became the gold standard, you know, in this time period. Hmm. And so, you know, the amber pipe, I guess, along with the same time period, folks were looking for something unique to use with their more high-end pipes, and so it was available then for more you know, lucrative buyers. Frankly, the reason we use it on pipe stems occasionally, it's pretty, it's shiny. It's hard to get a hold of, and so it draws a lot of attention. You know, if you're making a statement, making pipe, and you know, really want something to finish it off with incredibly handsomely, it might be that that amber stem.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, but this really ended. You know, even in the late 19th century, we're talking about the, you know, the late 1800s here. Amber stems were not common after this point. High-grade pipes used it to set off something more elegant and sophisticated up into, you know, let's say the 1870s, 80s. But after that, it became kind of an anachronism. It was something that, you know, was not, you know, very, you know, highly readily available, not common to see around on even high-end pipes. And it became associated more with things that were rare in themselves, things like meerschaum pipes. A lot of meerschaum pipes you saw with these amber stems that, you know, had accents to just accentuate the exquisite, you know, nature of the meerschaum. You'd add on just for almost like, you know, sugar on top of the icing kind of thing. You'd add on, you know, amber on top of the meerschaum. And so, you know, the meerschaum was already highly prized. It was beautiful and exquisite. You know, it was something hard to get a hold of. We're talking in the mid-19th century. Let's make it just absurd and put amber on top of that.
Huh,
so,
yeah.
You know, that's something that happened, you know, back then. But even by the early 1900s, you know, amber had kind of fallen away as a material that was regularly used for pipe making. Just kind of fascinating. The meerschaums that you saw, they were, you know, they would have this amber as a very powerful statement, you know, accessory. One of the most famous pipes that has this kind of adornment, actually, it's kind of interesting, is available to see in Virginia today at, I forget the museum's name, but they have the pipe of Jefferson Davis is actually on display.
Really?
It's a claw meerschaum, and it has a beautiful amber stem, something that you could actually go look at today. And so you saw it in these type of over-the-top pipes, you know, that were trying to really, you know, set themselves apart. But again, by the early 1900s, this was a thing that was kind of the past, and just faded away. The solid amber, you know, it was hard enough to get, so folks were using it as a rarity. You know, it became where folks like the color, and so just as we have meerschaum, we have solid block meerschaum, but we also have pressed meerschaum, right? You have solid block meerschaum, but then you have meerschaum that's made from, like, the leftovers of the meerschaum. It's like, well, what are we going to do with all this meerschaum dust, right?
Well, it's like steak. You got the center cut, and then you got the, you know, the top, and, like, off the stew.
Well, but then also, like, ground beef, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what are we going to do with all these scraps, you know? And so, you know, meerschaum was that way, but amber became became that way as well. Amber, you had pressed amber where they would take the leftovers from these other amber pieces that were used for jewelry or whatever it might be, and they would take them, and there's all kinds of processes that you can research, ad infinitum to learn about how to take, various pieces of amber, combine them, and then make some new material or, some new structure out of them. That's what happened with pipe stem making. What's interesting, a lot of your early and even current day meerschaum pipes will feature a yellow lucite stem.
Yeah.
Now, that's fascinating, right? And the yellow lucite stem, the yellow or yellow acrylic stem,
right,
harkens back to amber.
So I was going to ask about this.
Yeah.
Because, in my head, I think of amber, and I find that more often than not, I'm picturing an acrylic stem pipe as opposed to, an actual amber stem pipe.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The genesis of that, the origin of that, they were mimicking the original amber stems. And so when you saw these, that's why you see so many meerschaums today that had these yellow stems. They're lucite or acrylic, but they're mimicking these amber stems that were these gaudy lost era stems of the past that are just hard to find nowadays and hard to make, and frankly almost impossible to make.
Do you you're a collector connoisseur. Do you have any in your personal collection? Do you have
I actually don't. I don't have an amber stem pipe in my collection. Peterson a few years ago came out with a run of pipes. They were the amber, I forget what they called them. They were amber stemmed pipes. It was a pipe. You could either buy a sandblasted one or a smooth finished one, and it was a pipe that had an amber stem, and then it also had an acrylic stem, and so you could swap them in and out. And that was actually really smart of them to do, because the amber was so fragile that, if you wanted, something a little more durable, well, you just pop in the acrylic stem. But if you wanted to, showboat your amber stem, you pop that in, right? So
right.
It actually made a lot of sense how they did it. But yeah, I almost pulled the trigger on one of those a few years ago when we had those in. But yeah, I don't currently have an amber stem pipe.
Okay, interesting. Have you ever had, do you have any currently at the shop, or have you had some come through?
The only ones that we have currently are estate meerschaum pipes.
Right.
Yeah, meerschaum pipes that are really old.
It seems to me, at least for most shops in America anyway, without speaking outside of the country, it would seem like the majority of amber stem pipes you would see come through would be specifically from estate pipe situations.
Well, and the reason for that is it's hard to find nowadays. You're not finding,
and we should actually clarify what estate pipe is for a newer listener.
Yeah, I mean, these are used pipes that, come, the name estate pipe comes from the estate sale market, but, we just use that now as a term for any used pipe.
That's right.
The older pipes, you did see this occasionally with older pipes, particularly meerschaum pipes, had the amber stems, but it's hard to find now. Folks, we had a while back, a listener asked a question, where am I going to, I'm getting into pipe making or something of that nature, and he said, where am I going to find an amber stem or material to make an amber stem? And well, good luck, you may have to find an old piece of amber jewelry and boil it down and reshape it. That's what we're talking about here. You're not going to find a rod of amber somewhere or a slab of amber somewhere that's going to to assist in that that capacity. So
let me ask you this, though, because the other thing is, and I realize that when you're talking about a petrified material, you're essentially talking about a rock. This is a solid material.
Well, yeah.
Well, but, I'm not a geologist. I'm not saying that it's an actual.
Yeah, amber's different. It is a resin. It's something that it's hard, but it's not a stone.
Right. So I guess that's my point. I think about when I think of amber mentally, if I was to smoke an amber pipe, I would be very concerned about biting in and indenting it fairly easy.
Yes, and that that's why so many of those Peterson special edition pipes that they came out with wound up destroyed.
Yeah.
just to be honest with you, the folks at Peterson, the folks at Peterson actually handled this pretty well. We had to send back a lot of those pipes because the amber actually got destroyed in shipping to our shop.
in shipping.
Even in shipping.
Oh,
because,
wow.
Because the amber is so, it's such a fragile material.
Wow.
It's a nice, and think about that, Bo. It's not just, you know, once the pipe is produced. I mean, think about working with a material like amber. You know, it's this fine china that you're working with that, you know, out of, let's say you're making fine china, well, out of every, 20 plates, you might have one that, survives kind of deal. And so you have the same concept with amber.
So without any, obviously, no disrespect to our good friends at Peterson or anything of that nature. But
yeah,
is
no,
it,
not at all.
To some extent,
they did
is
a great
it,
job with that setup.
Well, it sounds like they handled it very well.
They did.
But I'm curious, like, is even, like, the crafting of amber to create a pipe stem, could you argue that that's something of a lost art?
Yeah, and kind of should be.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked with pipe repair folks that, you know, we've sent amber stems off to, hey, this has been destroyed, you know, someone breathed on it too hard, and now it's powder, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, can you help us with this? And, you know, the pipe repairmen, and look, I mean, I'll be honest, like, you know, they have, you know... The pipe repair folks, they do all kinds of miracles all the time. But they look at this kind of thing and they're just like, look, amber should not be used as a stem making material.
Right.
It just shouldn't be.
This is a bad idea back then.
I mean, I literally have had a pipe repairman or a stem maker tell
right.
me amber should not be used as a stem making material. It's like taking crystal and using it as a stem making, like, just, you know what I mean? It's beautiful. The light hits it a certain way. It's stunning. And, you know, it's got these inclusions in it that, you know, are ancient and interesting and rare and all this kind of stuff. But it certainly makes a statement. But, you know, but at some point, like, just don't make a pipe stem out of it.
Yeah, I mean,
know?
Like, yeah. It's, you know, it kind of almost reminds me of, like, gold-plated phones or something of that nature.
Yeah, something just silly.
Yeah, like, gold, the most, like, malleable metal. Like you know it's going to get messed up the second that somebody has it. And
right.
you're going to plate your phone in it, which you're going to, like, step on, drop on the ground. Like, what kind of statement are you going to make for, like, 2 seconds?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's actually a good comparison. It's one of those things that's almost just, it's over the top. And I think it was designed to be that way. You know, an amber stem for a pipe, it was in some ways kind of designed to be that way. It was, you know, it was a statement-making thing. It was, you know, today our, you know, musicians and artists and folks that like to flaunt the amount of money that they have, you know, they're going to, you know, drive the most ridiculous car, have the most ridiculous jewelry or outfit, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, that this is not the first time that's happened, right? People acted the same way in the 1840s, right? We think of, you know, people in the 1840s as fundamentally different than we are today, but they weren't, you know. They wanted to show that they had opulent wealth and
yeah.
all this other stuff. And so, you know, well, what are you going to do today? Your modern rapper might have some jewelry that, you know, is encrusted with all these diamonds and stuff, and that is really cool looking. Well, you know, the aristocrat in, you know, 1850 wanted to say the same thing. Amber pipe stem.
Absolutely.
Man. So anyway, kind of interesting, but that is why today we see the legacy of that in these, particularly the Meerschaum pipes that have these acrylic and lucite yellow stems that are elegant and kind of harken back to that, but
wow.
But are also also decidedly not amber.
Man. All right, so I mean, like, legit the unicorn of the pipe crafting world to some extent. There,
yeah.
I love the comparison to Morta because of the uniqueness of what it takes to actually create.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, to find this. I mean, there's almost kind of an uncovering of gold. You know, I think it does draw to mind everybody Jurassic Park, right? Like the mosquito,
it really does,
trapped in the amber cane and everything. And you know, I remember as a kid even thinking when they talked about how difficult it was to find the amber.
Yeah.
And not only that, it wasn't just like we've just talked about how difficult it is to find amber, right?
Right.
In that movie, it wasn't just find amber. You had to find amber with a mosquito in it. And it wasn't just fine amber with a mosquito in it. It had to be amber from a mosquito that just drank from a dinosaur. You know what I'm saying? And yet they've right. found enough of these
right.
to create all these dinosaurs to fill up right. an entire Disney World.
Right. Disney World of dinosaurs.
Disney World of dinosaurs. And I was like, of all the impossibilities of this film franchise, that has still eluded me. It's the biggest like plot hole. Like, how did he get all this amber?
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yep. But the great thing is, of course, with the innovation of pipes that we see is that, you know, we do now have the acrylic stems that come out. And, you know, in my mind, you mentioned, of course, meerschaum pipes. Meerschaum pipes obviously connect to the legacy here of the amber. But acrylic stems, to me, go hand in hand with good quality corn cob pipes, like from our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
You know, what's funny is we think of those, you know, high quality meerschaum pipes that have the amber stem. Well, today, the best selling Missouri meerschaum pipe on the market has a amber colored stem.
There it is, yes, sir.
And it is the Legend corn cob pipe.
How about
it's a
that?
Beautiful pipe. It's something that is just when you think of Missouri meerschaum and a corn cob pipe, this is the pipe that comes to mind. The Legend, we actually don't talk about it a lot because everybody's already got one.
Legend, wait for it, Dairy.
That's it. Legend Dairy. We need to start a dairy farm that's called Legend Dairy.
Of course.
The Legend corncob pipe, they have these beautiful amber stems. It comes in a straight and a bent variety. It has the option of using a filter, and it's just a very nice mid-sized billiard-shaped pipe. That's very attractive and affordable. Only $7.39.
Come on now.
That's it, man. That is it. That is it. And they of course are good smokers and something that you can keep several of on hand to use for yourself or pass out to friends. Just a great pipe. So check it out at Missouri Meerschaum. You can get it on from the source at corncobpipe.com. Search for the Legend corncob pipe. It's got the beautiful amber colored stem and we think you'll love it and enjoy it.
Hey, if you've got one, be sure to smoke it this week. Take a picture of yourself doing so. We love to retweet those out to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring the show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week. All right, this is a little bit different. Pipe question of the week
okay.
this week.
Yep.
Because it's from me. Okay.
You?
Yeah, from me. So one of the things that we've talked about, I feel like we've had like several different episodes about this topic from a couple of different angles. And
you're about to say aging pipe tobacco.
Aging pipe tobacco. That's exactly right.
I knew you were going to say it because this has been over the past, I'd say probably year and a half, we've had a lot of discussion on that.
Well, it's a topic that actually keeps coming up. Like people will ask about from time to time in the listener feedback and they ask about it from different ways. So here's my question, because obviously you are in a transition period, as you have been for years, as we all have been.
Since everybody has met me. Like.
Exactly. Oh, man. Anyway. So you're in a transition period. You got a new one on the way.
Right.
And, you know, I think I actually shared with you before I left Jackson, my wife and I did kind of a bucket list situation for Jackson, things we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And one of which is we went and did a tour of the Cathead Vodka Distillery.
Yeah. Downtown.
Place downtown.
Uh-huh.
And it was very cool because we went through and we saw where they make like the bourbon, the Old Soul, which I like. I know not everybody likes Old Soul. I love Old Soul.
I think it's great.
I think it's a great bourbon.
I think it's great.
They make a gin now, which I haven't tried, but yep. I kind of want to try.
Yep. And a barrel aged gin.
That's right. And so they make a lot of great stuff. But anyway, while we were back there during the tour, they showed us the owners of the distillery had put up some, I think it's some barrels of bourbon specifically when their children were born to give to them as a gift.
That's cool.
When they got married.
Yep.
So bringing it back to pipe tobacco.
Okay.
People are aging their pipe tobacco. They're putting it up. You yourself have kind of a Christmas tradition or have had in the past a Christmas tradition of kind of, you know, aging pipe tobacco for a year to open up on the holidays.
Kind of where this is going.
So yeah. Here's my question. If I was to, say, put up a pipe tobacco, we're in the midst of a year, you know, like, it seems a lot this year I have said that the apocalypse is going to be a slow burn until it's not. And it's only a half joke, and I'm not trying to be morbid or anything. Because one of the things I was actually reminding my wife of this recently. She was kind of getting on to me for saying this. I was like, you know, apocalypse does not necessarily just mean death. It also means a rebirth. There's an end of an age.
Wow.
There's a beginning of a new age. So the reality is that like whatever comes after this is going to be something different.
Wow.
So let's
Mrs.
say
Mrs. York the Saint.
How about that? So if I was to say put up something in 2020.
Okay.
To, like, come back in 20 years, maybe.
Yeah, okay, okay.
To bust open, to be like, I survived 2020. Not in a funny T-shirt way, but I survived 2020.
I made it through.
Right. So at what point have I waited too long to be able to enjoy it? You see what I'm saying? Like, let's just say that you put something up for, like your kid. Like, all right, the kid's born this year. I'm putting up the pipe tobacco.
Okay.
I want to give it to them when they get married. And they bust it open, and it, like, turns to ash or something like that. Like, when, what is the, like...
What's the limit?
What's the limit?
Yeah, what's the limit? What's the, you know, the peak of the curve? And,
yes.
the, you know, when you, the opportunity cost has passed you by or whatever. When people think about aging pipe tobacco and the benefits, the rewards you get from doing that, people generally think of Virginias. That's what folks think of,
right.
Virginia pipe tobaccos and aging. The amount of sugar, the little amoebas that happen to live on that particular leaf and chew on them to make them delicious over time. Well, we're talking about fermentation.
That's right.
Here.
That's what
we're talking about is fermentation. And so, you know, that continues on throughout the years, you know, when folks think about that, they tend to think about Virginia pipe tobaccos. There's no hard and fast rule here. Trust me, there's not.
Sure.
But I have had, you know, let's say, you know, Virginia pipe tobaccos that have been aged 6 to 8 or 10, maybe 10 years.
Okay.
And those Virginia tobaccos have been just like smoking candy. I mean, just like
interesting
the amount of flavor and nuance and character that those particular tobaccos have just been like candy. I mean, just so freaking good.
Right.
But once you get past that, let's say 12, 15, you know, I've opened cans of 15, 20, even 25-year-old Virginia leaf.
Wow.
And, you know, at some point, you're just smoking soil.
Right.
You know,
compost.
You know what I mean? Well, I mean, literally, you are. I mean, you reach the peak in which your returns for aging become less and less, and then it actually becomes kind of a negative thing. It's like, well, okay,
right.
We've made it so far, but you know, there is a peak for this kind of stuff. And the Cornell and Deal series that they came out with, I forget the name of it, but they've got several in the line that are meant to be aged in their tobaccos, you know. And a lot of those will say, you know, look, you know, after 10 or 15 years, like, you need to smoke this
stuff. Yeah,
you know what
like,
I mean? Like, it's time to consume it. Like, you know, once you...
I always think about Russ and his, like, stockpile.
Dude, seriously. Or you know, Russ or some of these guys,
right.
And they've got, you know, enough, you know, tobacco to make through the apocalypse. But, well, that's great, but is it going to taste any good?
I know. Like, at some point, it's like, you got to call some people over, man, so you can knock that out.
No, knock it out.
And you got our numbers. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
Fair enough. But, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, at some point you have these diminishing returns on it. It becomes a compostable substance that you need to consume.
So about the 10-year mark, you would say.
That's not a hard and fast rule. That's not a hard and fast rule.
Okay.
None of that. But I do think from personal experience, even the most ageable tobaccos, you know, that are known to have the most character with time on them. You know, after so many years, you know, 8, 10, 12 years, you're just going to experience, you know, at some point the tobacco almost turns into a Cavendish where you're just tasting kind of sweet heat. You're just tasting a leaf that has a semi-sweet characteristic and it just doesn't have a lot of complexity because it's basically... compost and that's great, but it's just not. It doesn't have the complexity, the character. You've missed the boat. You've missed it. You've missed the peak.
So it sounds like then. So for like you know, if you think about special occasions or something of that nature, it's probably not putting up some pipe tobacco when you know your daughter is born to give it to her on her wedding day or anything like that. It's more of like after her high school graduation, you put it up. To give to her after she finishes Harvard Law, which she got on a full scholarship.
I was about, or plumbing school, or...
Nina's pretty smart, man. I
she
mean,
might.
Like,
no,
those,
I,
I'm just
no,
saying,
that,
those
that's
genes
great.
Are fighting you, but I'm just saying,
no,
you
I'm
married
just
up.
Saying, there's probably, that all that is true. I will say also, you know, there's probably plumbers that make a lot more than Harvard Law
true.
Graduates. I will, and tobacconists, for that matter. Yeah, no, I mean, I think there is something to be said for... You know, look, this is the reality of it. If you put up tobacco like that, in some sense you're doing it for the aging property of the tobacco, but really, the meaning of it is beyond that.
That's exactly right.
The meaning of it is beyond that. It's like, look, I'm putting this tobacco up to smoke with my child when they're 21 or whatever the legal age is now. You know, that's... we're going to enjoy that at that date because that in itself is special.
Okay.
And I saved it from this date because this date is special. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you want it to taste good when you get there, but at the same time, like, it's more than that.
That's right.
So, okay. I don't know. But, yeah, maybe you put it back, you know, get you a tin of some really, you know, delicious Virginia tobacco, put it back, you know, maybe when they... I don't know, get confirmed in church or something like
all
that.
Right,
and
sounds
then,
good.
And then, you know, once they're confirmed and then they, you know, get married or something, then you bust it open. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Maybe this starts a new tradition, though. I mean, like, 2020, maybe it's worth, like, finding some pipe tobacco, putting it up so that I can enjoy it in 2030 and then, like, doing it for another decade. You know what I mean? Like, that might be something to that. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, that episode is going to be awesome. I'll see you in 2030.
Hey, man, let's do it. All right, hey, if y'all got a pipe question for us, that was, of course, from me to JD. But
that was a good question,
thank
Bo.
Thank you. I thought
so. Yeah, it was a really good question.
If y'all got one, be sure to send it to us, show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire question. Ow! All right, man. So this is like fully on me. So I may like, and my apologies to who I am assuming is Pastor Joda, because it's probably because Pastor Joda, we all know this. He's the Jedi Master of quick fire questions.
Yeah, no.
I'm pretty sure this is from him, but if it's not from him, it's from somebody else. My apologies. That is completely on me. This is the DIY edition.
Okay.
Of quick fire questions.
Do yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go. Oil change.
No.
No, not at all. I have no idea how to do that.
No, I don't know how to do
there's
that.
There's like a pan that you put under the car. But I don't even know where the pan goes.
I don't even know. No, dude, I mean...
You don't even know about the pan, do you?
I don't know. That's what you pay someone else to do.
That's right.
There's professionals for that.
You teach a man to fish, and then he pays somebody else to fish for you. That's the way to do it.
You teach a man to fish, he sells the fish to go get an oil change.
That's right. Mowing the yard.
I do that myself.
Okay, so, you know, we moved to Houston.
Yeah, okay.
No, this is where Bo says,
this is where Bo says, I used to do that myself, but now I live in Houston.
You haven't. So this is the thing. The pandemic hit, and you were like you were supposed to come visit me by now.
I was.
We were going to do this, and I was going to show you, and you were going to judge me for, like, the whole posh living situation that I'm currently in.
Yeah, you talked on one episode, you talk about a butler's pantry.
It does have a butler's pantry.
You have a butler's
pantry.
It's
pretty awesome, too. Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
And a hot tub. But the thing is, listen. Like, the thing is, we moved here, and, like, we are already, you know, like, mm-hmm. when you're in a neighborhood, but only, like, just barely,
yeah,
you know
sure.
what I mean? Like, we ain't, you know, like, Uncle Phil's house is down the road.
Right.
That ain't us. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're just
yeah,
barely
yeah, y'all,
there.
Y'all are in, like, the memorial part of Houston, so the Bush compound is, like, around the corner.
It's the oil and gas, like,
and
old
y'all,
money.
And y'all are, like, on the part that's just next to Katy Freeway by the Chevron.
Listen, man. No. Like, our our neighborhood, you will roll in and you will judge me, and you are right to do so.
That's good.
But here's the thing:
more than usual.
Like, so the people that lived there before had like lawn service, and a lot of people in this like neighborhood all have lawn service. So,
and the Mississippian moves in, and you bring a billy goat.
Well, I tried it for like 2 seconds. I was down. I was like, this is nice. People just come in and like mow your lawn, and then my wife is like, yeah, you're gonna need to be mowing this lawn though. And I was like, okay. I'll mow my own lawn. I do prefer it.
I'm proud of you.
But I will say, the first time that anybody ever mowed my lawn was actually a mutual friend of ours who has lawn service in Bellhaven, and it was completely by accident.
That mutual friend
The time, my brother lived right down the street from me.
Okay,
and the owner of the house that he was renting had them as their lawn provider.
Okay,
and Benton, my brother, had to coordinate something, or I don't know the details. Point is, I'm sitting, I'm editing audio. I just hear out of nowhere, and I roll out, and it turns out like all of these people are out here mowing my lawn out of nowhere. And like, I'm like, what is going on? I talk to the guy, and he's like, wait, oh, this is where you live?
It's a different York.
Wait, where does your brother live? I was like, two doors down. And he's like, oh.
Well, might as well finish up.
I told him, I was like, look, if you just finish up right now, I'll pay you that for the half that you did. I was like, you finish this up, I'll pay you for this half. And so he did it for half, and I found that day. That, you know that feeling you get?
You paid him for half.
He wasn't supposed to even do it in the first place. I found that day, that feeling that you have after, like, the satisfaction of, like, mowing your own yard.
Yeah, sure.
Feels just as good when somebody else does it. Just as good. But anyway, no, I do mow my own yard. All right, upgrade the RAM in your computer.
No.
I have a Yak. No.
A Yak? Oh, RAM.
Because RAM and Yak, that's terrible. Yeah.
No, I don't have a computer you can
I
even
try
do
to
that.
Be technical. Like, for Mississippi, I'm very technical, but
okay,
I don't even know how to do that.
Go ahead.
Minor plumbing.
I've Toilet installed. I have installed a faucet before, and I've fixed things in the tank of the toilet.
Yeah, the tank of the toilet is about the extent that I've got as well.
Yeah, and I have installed a faucet, and I've done, very minor. Yeah.
Yeah. Any kind of major leaks, lease, and no, I'm calling somebody who knows what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm out.
Growing fresh veggies?
No.
I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, I know you do that. Yeah, I know that's the thing.
Remember when we drunkenly went into my backyard and I showed you the tomatoes?
Yeah, no, it was good.
That was a fun night.
It was beautiful tomatoes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Growing fresh veggies.
That I remember.
You don't remember that at all, do you? We were...
Go ahead. What's the next question?
let's see. Build a doghouse.
No.
You have opinions on this, too, because you don't like outdoor dogs.
I don't like outdoor dogs.
Right.
Penny's
never had a doghouse.
No.
Yeah.
Like, she's with us. She's gonna be in the house.
She's gonna be in the house. Yeah. She was there before Nina, and she'll be there. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
And then also cook a steak. What? How is that not DIY?
Yeah, you got to cook your own steak.
Absolutely.
I mean, I mean, look, there are times you go out to the nice restaurant and have a steak cooked for you. Yes, there are. Like, you know, in our local area, like, I'm gonna go to, you know, Walker's or something, have a good steak occasionally.
Walker's
like,
that's
gonna, you know, I'm gonna celebrate something by letting someone serve me in that way. But like, but there are times you wanna cook your own.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of cooking my own. I just recently have been kind of, we're all at home and so we're cooking and doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And I used to be like a steak purist of you don't have steak every night, but when you do get a steak, you get the high quality beef. Right, exactly. And if you get high quality enough beef, you don't really need to do much. The salt and pepper, you might kind of do kind of a dry age overnight or something of that nature, but you don't do like crazy sauces or anything like that. Just recently, I started messing around with like
A1.
Well, no, not A1. But like, but like Italian styles of prepping steak, where you take like Italian parsley and chili pepper and mint and like olive oil, and all this stuff. And you kind of almost like you sear it, and then you kind of smother it almost.
Okay.
And then you cook it with those fresh herbs on it.
Okay.
Whoo, man! I'm about to make it for my parents tomorrow night. It's gonna be choice.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so good stuff. No, cook a steak. Absolutely, absolutely do it yourself.
DIY.
Great questions. Those are the quick fire questions. And I'm assuming from Pastor Joda, hey, if you got some questions for us, be sure to send those into the show. show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, man, this is coming in from Nathan. is what Nathan has to say. Hey, Leaf Brothers, and more importantly, Christ Brothers. I really enjoy the show. Nice history discussion, and I really enjoy it. Not sure what that one was, but given the fact that you're the co-host of the show, I'm sure that it was amazing.
Nice history discussions. Yeah, no, that's, I'm sure we just talked about history.
I'm sure we did. In particular, I was listening to your discussion on Esoterica. Ooh, that was a fun one. You brought up Smoker's Haven from here in Columbus, which really stunned me. But it was great because you mentioned the contract between the two and how Esoterica, or contrast between the two, and how Esoterica used to produce the blends for the Haven stores.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this. And that makes a connection for me in my family history. My dad and my late grandfather used to smoke the Haven's blend called Owen's Blend. And this was back when it was contracted through Esoterica. So it was kind of like doing an Ancestry.com connection, except instead of family tree, it was tobacco plant. Since I have found the components for the recipe, I have put together some blends for my dad and I too try with my siblings to see if I can create a match exact as it will be called Owen's Vague.
Owen's Vague.
Owen's Vague.
So he's trying to harken back to the blend. What did he call a blend now? Owen's blend.
Yeah, Owen's blend.
Okay.
Hopefully it will come out to be somewhat familiar to the taste for my father. Outside of my little story here, I wanted to request a show topic for you, and that would be Latakia blends. I recently...
Nope. Lakeland blend.
Okay. I thought you were shutting it down immediately. I was like, well, hang on, that's content. Outside of my little story here, I wanted to request a show topic for you, and that would be Lakeland blends.
Lakeland blends. Jeez.
I recently came across Handsome Flake from S&G and saw that it had some Lakeland essence in the blend. It was a vapor, which is always great for Virginia Perique.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely not a typical one, though very good. I can't quite pin what exactly is the quote-unquote essence. And do all S&G blends have it? So, like Squadron Leader.
Same guy with. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Skiff mixture, or is it an essence that is added, like a casing or topping to a certain group of their blends? Anyway, I really enjoyed the show. It's nice to sit down and listen to with a bowl of my own. While in prepping for sermons or studying presentations for church, and put to rest the craziness of the world to the side and relax with some remote brothers in the Lord, whom I pray one day to meet online or in person. Grace to you and peace, Nathan. Nathan, Pastor Nathan, apparently.
Yeah, apparently Pastor Nathan.
Yeah, there you go. We got Pastor Jonah and Pastor Nathan. We got so many pastors that tune in
The right reverend, yeah. No, that's great. Man, so glad you emailed in, and yeah, we should do an episode at some point on soap flavored tobacco.
Come on, man. Why are you going to do that?
Because it's a Lakeland blend.
Oh, wow.
And it tastes like I bought it in Bath and Body Works.
Wow.
No, look, we have a lot of folks that really enjoy Lakeland blends, and they have a very important part in the pipe tobacco world, and so we should talk about that.
Yeah, no, that's a good recommendation. And part of me wonders if we have. Well, you know, the great thing is, after 7 years of doing the show,
maybe we have.
We probably have. We'll need to go back.
Actually, I don't think we have. But we'll take a look.
It seems like you would have fought that topic.
I don't care for Lakeland tobaccos. It's one of those things that over the years I've just kind of grown in this distaste for it. But
is it because the shop is on Lakeland Drive?
No.
Okay. I'm curious.
No, although it is an interesting coincidence, I don't care for Lakeland style tobaccos, and I do think, you know, obviously the story behind that is interesting. You know, the production of those particular leaves are interesting, and so yeah, we probably ought to unpack that at some point.
It's interesting. I wonder if it would behoove us to find somebody who is more of a fan of Lakeland tobaccos to speak on that.
To actually, like, be the devil's advocate in favor of... I'm the devil. I'm the devil.
But hey, great email, Nathan. Thank you so much.
That's a
good question. Really appreciate that.
Yep.
Hey, if you love the show and want to send us some listener feedback, we'd love to get that from you as well. You can email the show at countrysquareradio.com. Again, that is show@countrysquareradio.com. You know, I haven't mentioned it in a while, and I don't know why. You should head over to iTunes and write us a review. It is a great way to support the show. Doesn't cost you a dime to do it. And we love getting a chance to read those. I think part of it is that we've been getting so many emails in. I think a lot of folks are... you know, have the time to sit down and write emails. And we love getting those in. Obviously, this one's a little bit longer than the ones that normally make it into our listener feedback. But you know what? I'll just add this little quick antidote here at the end, if I can. I was talking to a good friend of mine. We were on a Zoom call together. And this is a good friend that we stay in contact a lot, but we don't get a chance to be either on the phone or on Zoom together very much. And we were both, we got done with business. We were talking about business. And then, like, we stayed on the phone for, like, 35 minutes afterwards, just catching up. And he was sharing with me, you know, it's interesting. I was at church. I was talking to somebody that I don't even know all that well, but I kept on the conversation going, even though I had to go, but just because I missed talking to people. You know what I mean?
Wow.
There's like this longing to be in conversation with
connectedness.
Folks.
Yeah. Interesting.
And so I wanted to, even though this is a little bit longer, I wanted to kind of include it. And so Nathan, always glad to get yours and anybody else's feedback that want to send in the show. That being said, writing a quick iTunes review goes a long way to help out the show. So head over to iTunes, write us a review.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you can keep up with us in many ways. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at TheRealBoYork.
I'm at John David Cole. Or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
Of course, the show's handle is at Squire Radio. But all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Man, it is always a pleasure.
I had fun, man. It was good talking about amber stems.
Amber stems,
all these interesting pipe, you know, making materials and the story behind them, and why we may or may not use them anymore.
You know, I feel like I made a Welcome to Jurassic pipe joke like a couple of episodes back, and so I couldn't like pull that off. But I'm glad you said unicorn on that other episode, so that I could pull from that and tell the story of how, in fact, I was temporarily in
an
Irish folk parody comedy band.
And that's a real thing.
That's a real thing.
Let's go have a night.
Let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.